full service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Learn more at Viking.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it was just one of those days for the Niners defense and really for the offense too. Sunday in Green Bay, 38-10. The Packers beat the Niners. They get blown out. Worst loss in Niners history against the Green Bay Packers. And these are two teams that have played for a very, very long time. Welcome back to Willard and Dibs. No Willard and Dibs this week. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark, Randy, the Great, Loneal, Jake Hutchinson with you. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, though, to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're there, check out what Brian Baldinger had to say about the Niners' loss to the Packers earlier today. That was with Bonte and Shasky on the Morning Roast. Meanwhile, right now here on Willard and Dibs, we've got our own offensive lineman to talk to. So without further ado, let's go out to the River Islands guest lines. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Stink, happy early Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.
Yeah, appreciate that. So what'd you see when you watched Niners Packers 38-10? I imagine it's been a while since you've seen the Niners put out an effort like that. What's your take from what you saw the Niners put out there on Sunday in Green Bay?
Hey, what did I see? I saw an ass whooping is what I saw. listen, inability to stop the run. I'll tell you what, Lo, you got to be as excited as I am to watch some of these running backs, to watch the run game, to watch some fullbacks get involved in the National Football League. It just feels like teams have started to realize, hey, listen, if everybody's going to get small, if everybody's going to play dime and nickel, and they're going to have 215-pound linebackers, we're going to line up and thunder punch people in the teeth. And I love it. Like, to me, it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, there are three things that don't lie: small children, physicality in the running game, and yoga pants. Those are three things that just flat don't lie. And I tell you what, Green Bay with Josh Jacobs, they ran the style of the ball like we're used to seeing the San Francisco 49ers run it. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been able to count on with the 49ers is explosives, right? We're going to run the ball so well. We've got such a diverse run game, and we've got so many great play-action stuff that marry perfectly to the run game that we have, that we're always going to get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 explosive plays a game. And you could count on that. And explosive plays, you look at the NFL, explosive plays, each explosive equates to about 3 points usually. And when you're not pulling explosive plays, when you're not creating explosive plays in the pass game, you're not getting them in the run game. I mean, when was the last time we saw McCaffrey get a 12-yard run? I just don't even remember it. So, you know, you got to put 8, 10, 12 plays together, put a touchdown drive. It's really hard to do. It's a really hard thing to do in the NFL. And that's what I see with the Niners right now. 17 points against Seattle, 10 points against Green Bay. It's good enough to get you bounced from the playoffs. That's what it's good enough for.
Mark, we talked to Chris Foerster, their offensive line coach and run game coordinator, after the draft, and he basically said explicitly that this team values skill position players over offensive line. I wonder, do you think the Niners need to sort of recalibrate that and put their emphasis back on the trenches, especially on the offensive line?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought Pooney has played really well, and obviously, you know, you've put a lot of assets into Trent Williams, who's one of the greatest that's ever played the game. And so, you know, they put some assets there, and usually their scheme is so good that they can get that thing done. And then, you know, you look at, you know, the backup guys, and I just watched Spool play in Tampa for Tristan Wirfs and played pretty well. So it's not just having, you know, it's not just having your starters intact, but it's having guys that can play when you get injured. And that's one of the big issues in the NFL, in my opinion. When I played, all our backup offensive linemen were pretty much former starters. They all had three, 4 years of starting under their belt. So when you lost a guy, you weren't trying to break in a rookie who didn't know what he was doing and, you know, and wasn't ready to play and would bust protections, all that stuff. You're bringing in a guy that had played for a long time. And what's happened is, you know, in the NFL, we like to pay, you know, 8, 10, 12 guys. And then we like to make, you know, save money with bringing in rookies and first-year guys that, you know, probably don't have any business being on the team. And that's where we kind of save money. And the offensive line, unfortunately, is one of those places where teams try to save money. They try to save, you know, cap value. And that's the one place you can't save money. Man, you've got to have guys that know what they're doing. And especially in today's game, because we don't get to practice. Right. And I tell people, anybody that'll listen to me, man, it's the most skilled position in football. Because as an offensive lineman, and I'll put fullback in there because you guys are honorary offensive linemen.
Right.
You know, when you think about moving a man from point A to point B against his will, and then on top of that, you're the worst athlete collectively as a group. You're the worst athletes on the football field, and we're expected to win 100% of every battle we get into. So, I mean, I can have a great game. I can win 64 out of my 65 plays. I give up one sack, and I'm a piece of garbage. The other guy goes to a Pro Bowl. Like, that's the game that we play. And you can't name one other sport, one other position in any sport where a lesser athlete matches up against a better athlete, and the lesser athlete's expected to win 100% of the battles. And if he doesn't, he's a piece of garbage. Name one. I'll wait. You can't.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game right now. Hey, Stink, real quick, I love where you're at because I think you're absolutely nailing it. Hey, when you think about where the Niners is right now, and you're thinking about a Buffalo team that I think probably is the best team in the AFC, how does the Niners, when do you know it's over? You know, me and you played this game a long time. When you know you can win your individual battle, but when do you know that, okay, it's just something's off this year? You know, how do you hit that reset button?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think usually you've got a pretty good idea in your locker room when, you know, you just aren't tied together as a group. And, you know, especially offensively, when nothing seems to go your way, when you can't, you know, when you can't have continuity and it's always a different guy, there's always different guys in and out of the game plan. So, I mean, that's always a hard thing to deal with because everybody's such a competitor. But, you know, when those things happen to me or when those things happen to a football team, to me it's about small and up and simple and down and saying, okay, what can we do? Let's do one thing. Let's do it exceptionally well, and let's build three or four adjunct plays off of that one thing that we can do. And at least we're not going to screw that up. At least we'll have some success doing that, and then we can build off of that stuff. So, you know, to me, it's not about getting more complex. It's about simple and down when you're struggling and finding, you know, one thing, two things that you do really well and just live in that world. Then change it up with different personnel groupings, different formations, motions, but you're running the same thing. I mean, I played for 6 years for Kyle's dad, Mike, and we really ran six plays. Now, we ran them out of a bunch of different formations and personnel groupings, and we motioned and we shifted and we did all that stuff. But it's that 10,000-hour rule. Like, I always thought about it from the standpoint of, hey, you may have defended this time or this particular play 100 times, but I've run it 10,000 times, so I'm better than you, and I know it. And, like, I mean, when we got into a short yardage situation, we had three plays. There was three plays coming in, 18-19 handoff, 14-15 handoff, or QB sneak. One of those three plays is coming in, and on second down and one, it was a shot down. It was, we're going to convert, we're going to beat you up physically, we're going to wear you down so your pass rush is good, and that's how we're going to win. And so those are the things that, to me, have always worked throughout my career when we found ourselves as an offense struggling.
Longtime NFL offensive lineman Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibbs. And insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Stink, I mean, obviously there's no surprise that what happened on Sunday given all the Niners' injuries. You're without your quarterback, you're without Trent Williams, you're without Nick Bosa, you're already without Brandon Ayuk and a number of other guys. But even when the Niners have been relatively healthy this year, we've seen signs that this is no longer the team that was, you know, three consecutive NFC championship games and gone to two Super Bowls under Kyle Shanahan. Is this just injury problems in your mind, or is there something bigger going on here? Is it on Kyle Shanahan to evolve and adjust and try to attack a different way? What do you see from a wider perspective? Is this just injury based, or is there something bigger going on here?
I think that it is mostly injury based, but then there is, you know, things that you just expect to be good at and you've been good at for a long time that you're just no longer executing very well. And sometimes that's because of injuries and because you're playing different guys and they don't see it the same. And, you know, when you don't have that continuity, you know, from the standpoint of all the weapons that you normally have on a football field, when you have a healthy McCaffrey, when you have, you know, a healthy Kittle, when you have a healthy Ayuk and a Deebo Samuel, and you've got, you know, Juszczyk. I mean, it makes it really difficult because everybody's got to pick their poison, and you can't take them all. You can't have a great matchup against every one of those guys. So the injuries play, you know, a major role in that. And then guys learning how to play, guys learning the nuance of football. It's one thing to draw things up and say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But let me just tell you, and Lo will you know, second this, it never looks like it does on the grease board. It never looks like it does on film. When you get on a football field, it's always different. There's always an alignment that doesn't match what you saw in the game film or what you saw on the grease board. And so you have to have guys that are smart. You have to have guys that are experienced. You have to have guys that understand and can adjust. And like when you're playing exactly by the book, and that's a big issue, you know, when you're playing ultimately a bunch of different players, they play by the book. They don't play by nuance. And the game is played by nuance. The great teams play nuanced style of football. And, you know, I'll go back to that Kansas City game where the Buffalo Bills won it and that long scramble where Josh Allen ran over a couple of guys. He said, hey, man, we were expecting to get man. They were in man every time we practiced it. They were in man every time we looked at it on film, and they played a zone. And it was a bad, like, we had man beaters on. It was a zone offensive, you know, or defense, excuse me. And so all of a sudden I was like, well, none of these routes are good. So I just pulled the ball and took off.
Right.
Like, that's, like, sometimes that's what happens. And, again, it goes back to that. When I've done it 10,000 times, there's nothing you can do that's going to surprise me. Like, I can line up at left guard, and we can run 19 handoff, 19 handoff force, 19 bounce, 19 pitch, 19 toss. We can run them all, and there's not one defense that you can line up in that I'll be confused on. There's nothing you can do to confuse me because I've run it 8 million times. And when all of a sudden you're a young guy and you get a bad shade, I mean, go back to the Super Bowl. How do you not block Chris Jones?
Right.
Like, those are things that happen when young guys fail to communicate and they see something that's a look that just doesn't make sense to them. That's what ends up happening to you.
Mark, you go back to just the way this training camp went with, you know, they had no Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk holding out, Trent Williams holding out, and I was there every day watching it, and it just didn't look right. The energy's not right. I wonder, how much do you think that matters? I know we're deep into the season, but how much do you think not having a training camp with all of those key players there, how much do you think that matters?
I think all those things add up. They all matter, right? It does. You know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, young guys got opportunities and reps and this, that, and the other. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey being out and not being the dynamic player that he normally is, that hurts you, man. It just really hurts you. And then having the energy of certain guys.
Right.
Like, there's always guys that are just a difference in a locker room from an energy standpoint, what they bring to the locker room. And you can be around rehabbing and stuff. And trust me, man, I spent a lot of my career rehabbing. It's different, right? You don't feel like you're part of the team. You're not the same. You don't have the same impact that you do when you're there every day. And those things matter. You know, I go back to a couple guys that we let go later on in my career that were huge energy guys. One guy was Dave Diaz-Infante. We called him the stunt guard because he practiced for me all week and I played on Sundays.
Love
and he's still one of my best buddies of all time. And you would think, you know, that would be a situation that would cause animosity, but we are best. We study together. We prep together. It was like we were playing together. And like, there's this special energy that exists because of that. The other guy was Keith Burns. He was locker room levity. He was our best special teams player. And we let that guy go, and it changed the dynamic of our locker room, and it was different. And those things are incredibly important, and I think oftentimes coaches don't see it.
Right.
They don't understand it because they're not in there. They're, you know, most of them, they're not allowed in the locker room. You guys have the upstairs. Stay up there. And so there's just some of those things that they matter, and they do. It's hard to figure that out, hard to replace it, hard to put a finger on it.
Stink, if you're the Niners and if you're the Buffalo Bills, how do these both teams view this game? Buffalo coming off a bye, knowing what's at stake, number one team in the AFC, trying to be the number one team in the AFC, the Niners fighting for their playoff hope. How do both teams view this mentally?
Yeah, well, I think for the Niners, it's a do-or-die situation. I mean, it doesn't get any easier. They're only one game out of first, so this puts them right back in the hunt. But they're 1-3 in their own division. You know, they only scored 17 against Seattle a week ago. You know, they're reeling right now. So this is a tough situation, obviously, for the 49ers. And I think the other thing, you know, for the Niners is if you get a win against the Bills, who are arguably the best team in the AFC, all of a sudden, what does that do for the energy in your locker room? What does that do for the believability that you can win this division? I think it's huge. And for the Bills, and this is the San Francisco freaking 49ers. They have been in the NFC Championship game. They have been in Super Bowls. They are, you know, we know how loaded their roster is. We know how good some of their players are. Like, they are one of the gold standards of the NFL. And listen, man, anytime you back a professional organization into a corner that has that many professionals, that many guys that have that kind of, you know, that kind of resume, they know their season's on the line. I guarantee the Buffalo Bills are talking about, do not take this team lightly because they're like a wounded animal and they're going to come out of here and this is do or die for them. They're like, if they don't win this game, to me, their season is over. And so you know what you're going to get. If you're the Bills, you know what kind of effort you're going to get for the 49ers.
Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibs and Stink. We'll get you out of here after this one. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Deebo Samuel and his lack of involvement in the game against Green Bay. Only one offensive touch, had a couple of balls bounce off his hand, one that turned into kind of a game-changing interception for Xavier McKinney and the Packers. What have you seen from Deebo so far this year? And you're talking about backs up against the wall. That's generally when he's at his best. And what do you expect from him in Buffalo coming up on Sunday?
He's looked all season like he's hurt. And, you know, I don't want to say disinterested, but he just looks like he's not the same guy right now. And I don't know exactly what that is. You know, that like everybody who plays is hurt. Everybody's got some type of injury and everything else. But he looks like he's played the majority of the season injured. Like, he just hasn't been as dynamic, as threatening. And all the stuff that they have done over the course of the years where they motion him into the backfield and they're running him 6-7 times a game out of the backfield, that he's, you know, doing the reverses and the orbit sweeps and the jets, like all that stuff, it just feels like they're not doing that stuff at the same level and the kind of the same frequency that they've always done it. And so that's always a concern for me because he just doesn't look like the Deebo Samuel we've all been such a huge, huge fans of.
Yeah. I think everyone out here is seeing the same thing, Stink. Appreciate your time as always. What game are you calling this week?
I have got I've got a barn burner. I've got Tampa at Carolina, and I love Baker Mayfield, man. That guy's like a little angry chihuahua. He just is after everybody. It's fun. He's actually playing really well. They've gotten healthy all of a sudden. They've got their players back, and they have got one of the easiest schedules in the National Football League going forward. So I think they're actually going to win the South. And Bryce Young actually has played well the last couple of weeks. So it's good to see a kid, you know, get benched, do it kind of the right way, kind of, you know, embrace it and come out and play pretty well. So that's been kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, well, we'll be watching and listening. Appreciate your time as always. Again, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up with you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, man. Good to connect. And hey, Lo, man, good to hear your voice, buddy.
Oh, you're the best, brother. We had a great time at the Super Bowl with Chuck, didn't we?
That was unbelievable.
He's crazy.
Absolutely.
That dude's crazy.
He is crazy. All right, man. Be good, guys.
All right, bro. All right. Cheers.
Thanks, Stink. That's Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. A couple of interesting things from Stink there. I mean, he's seeing what we're all seeing with Deebo too, right?
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to say disinterested, but it's kind of what it looks like, right?
Right. I mean, that's the thing is with a guy, you don't want to say that he's just not taking it seriously or that he's not trying, right? Because you're not in his body. You don't know what he's feeling day to day. All you can go off is what you see. And what we've seen from Deebo, it's just not at all the same version. There's no way you can slice it where you say, oh, he's actually playing really well. He just isn't. That's a simple fact of how he's looked on tape. And listen, he's not being blocked for yet. Well, we've all talked about it. But Debo's a guy that hasn't needed to be blocked for super, super well and can make positive things happen. And he had that return that got called back. But for the most part, he has not been great. And honestly, if you look back at that screen that they ran for him, if he ran behind Jake Brendel, he might have had a touchdown on that play, but he cut it up inside. So there's just a lot with Deebo where it's not the same guy.
And it goes to show you, people know, and I think you can look this as a good thing and a negative thing. The good is about people hold you at a very, very high regard. You're Deebo Samuel. You're Deebo. You want your cornbread? Deebo used to just mutt guys like you guys talked about. And that's why you guys are looking like, God, where? And that's why Slayer said, Stink said, hey, he looks disinterested. We saw Deebo run over linebackers, safeties, linemen, hop on one leg, pull a guy on one leg, and then dive forward and get another 4 or 5 yards. We haven't seen that type of effort. And that's why Stink said, disinterested, or maybe he's hurt, or I don't know what a guy is going on, what he's fighting internally. Maybe he's dealing with something mentally. Because you don't see Deebo drop 1, 2, 3 passes, come right at him, hit him in his hands, and he drops these balls. That's disinterested, or that's just not attention to details. That's just the want to.
And it's not Deebo. It's just frankly not Deebo. It's never been Deebo.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are those things that you look at and you're like, God, something's going wrong. And, you know, I know some people might say, God, is he losing it? And that's why I don't think he's losing it. I want to say maybe, hopefully it's hurt or just something he's battling with mentally. Because when you look at him, Jake, this guy is so magnificent when he's well and when he's healthy. You don't want to say this guy's quit on this team.
Totally. You talk about the high standard, the high regard we have for Deebo. Right. That's why you criticize him. It's not saying, oh, this is an easy thing to do. It's hard. And that's why you trust a guy like Deebo Samuel to turn a hard situation into something that becomes a positive one.
That's why he got the major contract that he got.
Exactly, because he was a dynamic, transcendent player, and it's obvious when he's not at that level. And so one of the bright spots, and we can talk about this more going forward, is that if this season does go sideways, it might not be the worst thing in the world for guys like that who have been through the ringer with all of these failed playoff runs to just take some time, you know, ease off the pedal for the rest of the season and just say, all right, it's not our year. We're going to get a little bit of rest. We're not going to have to go through this gauntlet, and we'll get right next year. And they're all aging a year older, so that's maybe not the best bet, but it might be the only optimistic view, you know, for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another reason why maybe if things continue to trend downhill, why that might ultimately be a good thing for the Niners as well. We can get into that on the other side, and it's not just draft pick related. That's obviously one area where it might benefit you. You don't have to trade up as far if you want to get a top 10 talent if the bottom falls out of this year. We can break that down, talk more about that. A couple other things that Schlereth said. He thinks most of the Niners' struggle is injury related. A little dangerous, I think, to blame everything that's gone wrong on injuries. He also, I think, a question that Lowe asked, when a team knows that it's over, how does it feel in the locker room? He brought up like some of his best buds in the locker room that didn't play or maybe were his backups. It's hard to not hear that and not think about the impact of Dre Greenlaw not being on the field, because he's kind of this guy's energizer, this team's energizer bunny at times. And without him, that's probably having a big impact on this team as well. All right, time for a break. It's Willard and Dibbs,
No Willard and Dibbs, but Mark Randy, the great Lo Neal, Jake Hutchinson with you. We're back with more coming up on the other side. We've also got Greg Cosell in about 45 minutes at 4:15. Then we'll change gears and get into Warriors basketball with Steve Kerr, coach of the Dubs, coming up at 5. We're sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. More Willard and Dibbs next.
Get happy Honda savings at the all-new Honda of Vallejo. Family-owned and operated with a huge selection of new and used inventory at competitive pricing. Honda of Vallejo, your Honda savings store off the 80 corridor. Visit HondaofVallejo.com.